Hi, Lori here, welcoming you to another edition of Real English Conversations from BetterAtEnglish.com. This is the second in a three-part series in which Michael and I discuss some of the differences between our British and American English dialects. This edition takes up right where we left off in part one, so if you're a new listener, you might want to go back and listen to part one before you listen to part two. In this podcast, we focus on some pronunciation differences between British and American English, as well as one potentially embarrassing difference in vocabulary. But before getting into the conversation, I want to thank you again for your continued support of Better at English. Alberto and Yuichi, I received your generous donations this week. Thanks so much. So to all listeners out there, if you get value from my podcast, please consider making a donation. See the link in the sidebar at www.betteratenglish.com for all you need to know about how to donate. And as always, on the website, you'll find the full transcript and a vocabulary list. Okay, let's get on with it, shall we? What has happened?
I think that would be the same for me if someone was just a sharp intake of breath, like when you take your car to the garage and you say, and they tell you how much it's going to cost to have your exhaust fixed.
Oh, you said
that's what you would do.
Exactly. It's funny you said garage.
That's a regional thing with
garage
English people.
Yeah.
Because you could say garage or garage. Or garage. People would understand you in English. It just depends whereabouts in the country you come from.
But it's funny where I'm from. This might differ. You know, America is so big, and I'm not really up on all the different regional dialects. But I would say I took my car to the shop or to the workshop.
Wow.
I wouldn't even say the garage, or I would say garage.
Yeah.
But the garage for me is the place you at your own home.
A
special building where you park your own car.
Yeah.
That's your garage. And usually you keep a bunch of tools and junk and
And your lawnmower and things
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
That's what we would call it in England too. But it also, it doubles as where you take your car to have it fixed, to have it repaired.
Uh-huh.
But if you said that you were taking your car to the shop, in British English, they would look at you really funny, like thinking you were going to sell your car in a shop. You don't have it fixed, but they would understand workshop, you know, that engineers and mechanics work in a workshop.
Uh-huh.
But a shop in British English, it's where you sell something, newspapers and, you know, things like that. So
that could be a misunderstanding then.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I mean, wouldn't you be clever enough to figure it out? Don't they know enough about American English from TV and things like that to
I think so now, because there's so much of the TV in England, they're American programs, and if you want to understand what's going on, you just have to get up to speed with what people say and the names they have for things. So I think most people would be able to figure it out, but I can't speak for everybody.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a lot of expressions in British English and American English that can completely screw you up if you're not careful. One of my very, very favorites is the word rubber. Can I borrow your rubber? Have you got a rubber I can borrow?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, isn't that what... Because I learned, and I learned most of my British English from reading and from these English teaching materials and the vocabulary list that you have, because it's almost always based on the British English model. And in these teaching materials, a rubber is what I would call an eraser.
Yes,
you use to rub out pencil marks or erase pencil marks.
But what
do you call it, you know, spontaneously with what you know about British English? Would you call it a rubber or an eraser?
It's quite funny that you brought this up, because when I was young, I would, without even thinking, we just talk about this as a rubber. You know, I need a rubber. When I was a child, we used to write in pencil at school. And so every school child had to have a pencil and a rubber. This was important equipment for going to school. But it was only when I went to secondary school in England that I realized that rubber could actually mean something else,
yeah,
and particularly in with American English. And so I had to consciously start calling it an eraser, and that actually felt really false.
Oh, funny, you say eraser. I say eraser.
Oh, did I say that? Eraser. Yeah, I said with it as if it's a Z.
Yeah.
Or a Z, as we would say. You call it a Z, we call it a Z.
Exactly.
You know, eraser.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, I have to consciously do that because to me, to be honest, it's still a rubber.
It's still a rubber. You know, maybe people don't understand what a rubber actually is in American English. And as far as I know, the first thing that comes to mind when I hear the word rubber used as a noun for a thing is a condom.
That's right. That's it. It's a slang word for a condom.
Yeah, and I can just imagine the, you know, unintentional fits of merriment that could occur at a business meeting if you said, "Oh darn, can I borrow your rubber?" If you were sitting there with a bunch of Americans, they might laugh at you.
Do you know, just to change the subject slightly, you just reminded me of something of a very good friend of mine, an English computer programmer who went on a business trip to the United States.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Real English Conversations here at BetterAtEnglish.com. You'll hear the rest of Michael's story in Part 3. Until then, I wish all of you the best for 2007. Stay inspired, stay positive, stay focused on what's important to you, and don't let fear of the unknown keep you from seizing the opportunities that come your way. If you'd like to leave feedback about the site, you can email me at info@betteratenglish.com or leave a message on my voicemail line at 1 for the USA 206-350-2283. And don't forget, your donations make this podcast possible, so if you're feeling generous, please visit the website www.betteratenglish.com and make a donation. Your support does a lot to keep me going. Bye for now.